Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
Some of the first teachings that Jesus said publicly in his major pronouncement was connected to startling truth that God will reward you in heaven for what you do for him on earth. Matthew 5, 11 and 12, that he said, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven."
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to read together verse 6 through 14. We're kind of jumping into the middle of a thought process here of Paul, who had a group of people that were questioning his authority. And he began explaining his position of who he was, and he was trying to encourage these people at Corinth, this church. He was trying to enforce the fact that his credentials might not be in writing, but his credentials are the Christians there in that church. And he begins explaining what was motivating him. And today we're going to talk about this topic. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's read out loud together, verse 6 through 14. Verse 6, ready? "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that we may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." He went on in that thought, verse 15, to say, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." He went on into further thought in verse 20 to finish this. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God." Today we're going to be talking about what is the steward's motivation, the second of the three-part series on the Creator's personal manager. If God is the great creator of the universe, the creator of us, and he's allowed us as his children to be personal managers, taking care of what he's given to us, because he's the creator, he's the owner. So he's our boss, he's our owner, he's our Lord. And what is our motivation to serve him? Is it important to know why you are doing things? Because I find there are some people that end up doing what they're doing as a Christian for woefully wrong reasons. And they're not good motivations. Sometimes they're detrimental motivations. And Paul says, "This is what my motivations were." And I would suggest to you and I today that if we have the same kind of motivations Paul had, it would put us in a place that we would have maximized our stewardship for him. Notice, if you would, if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them and look at, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where in verse 9, he said, "Wherefore," Paul said, "we labor." He wanted to strive for what is excellent. He had this work as a steward, and he says, first of all, this was a major motivation of Paul, should be for us today. First of all, he says, it's a motivation to be accepted of God. What does that mean, to be accepted of God? It's the same family terms for being well-pleasing to God. Or you could put it this way, the approval of God. Or if you want to put off in your notes another way to say this, you're looking for the smile of God. That's the same idea that Paul uses here when he uses the idea of being accepted or well-pleasing of God. Paul was striving, Romans 15, 20. Yea, I've strived to preach the gospel. He was doing that, not where Christ was named. It's the same idea in Titus 2, 9, used of slaves who were purchased at the slave market. And he said to your owners, be well-pleasing. The slave who owes his life to this owner says, man, I want to be well-pleasing to you as my owner. I owe you everything. I had nothing. I was a slave with nothing but the clothes on my back or lack thereof. Hey, I want to please you. That so motivated Paul to do what he was doing. The very approval, the very smile of God. And Paul said, I'm laboring, I'm working on this earth for that time because there's a concern to please Christ. But he not only says that, number two is, he moves on in the thought processes. And again, I'm not going to take this line by line in this text, but notice verse 9 says, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, because he had just explained in verse 6, 7, and 8, by the way, that Paul said, listen, whether absent or present, I'm still going to serve God. That heaven that he well knew of, that actually, if you jumped ahead to 2 Corinthians 12, Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but he was lifted up into the third heaven. Paul himself was one of the only humans that saw heaven, and it was so glorious that he wasn't even lawful to speak about it. Heaven was, listen, not just a destination, some place as a Christian he was getting to. It was a motivation, because heaven's going to be a wonderful place. It was heaven, because there are three levels of heavens, just as a side note to this. There's the heavens that the fowls of the air, then there's the heavens as far as the space is concerned. There's a third heaven where Paul was, where God is. They say that one heaven you see by day, the second heaven you see by night, and the third heaven you see by faith. And so Paul says, listen, heaven to me is, I want to see the smile of God. It is a place. But in addition to that, Paul said in verse 10, a second motivation is the hope of reward. He said it this way, we all labor that for we must all as Christians appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone, talking Christians here, may receive, underline the word receive. Because you have to understand, this is the Christian's privilege. It's not dread. This area that Paul says, listen, it's not just the smile of God, but along with that, he was well aware there's a hope of reward here. When he says we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And listen, you can think of eternal reward as really, in Jesus' own mind, the first and last thing on his mind. Some of the first teachings that Jesus said publicly in his major pronouncement was connected to startling truth that God will reward you in heaven for what you do for him on earth. He said, blessed are you, Matthew 5, 11 and 12, that he said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And the very last pronouncement in Revelation 22, he said it this way, behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. So Paul's touching on a theme that he regularly has been hit on through Scripture, that there is a hope of reward that someday, as I mentioned to you last week, and I'll say it again, is a motivation that God, you're going to reward us for our work, for what we're doing. As a Christian, it motivates us. It's an incentive. Understand, too, that Satan didn't make up the idea of incentives. Our sin nature didn't make it up. A corrupt world didn't make it up. God made it up. He designed us for incentives to motivate us to do our jobs and to do them well. Without going into all of this, you do need to understand that, first of all, when he says the judgment seat of Christ, let me make a simple explanation for you here, because that when people read this, they say, oh my word, we are judged on whether things are good or bad. The term good or bad is the idea not of a moral value, it's worthful or worthless is the idea. It's something that I'm going to take advantage of, or it's something that I've missed an opportunity to do. This is not a judgment of whether you are saved or not. The idea of a bema seat. Maybe I can explain it this way. Where the judgment seat at a Revelation 20 is the judgment of sinners. And what we're talking about here in the judgment of sinners in Revelation 20 is the great white throne. That is talking about redemption. Those, whether they are saved or not, and those that are not saved, born again, know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It is that exclusive that they will end up facing the fires of hell, according to the Bible. That is a truth that is taught throughout. It tests your belief and your trust. That's the great white throne. There is going to come a judgment appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. There's a point in which every one of us as humans are going to stand before God. Now, you're free to choose here on this earth. You're not free to choose the consequences. If you choose, I don't believe this, I don't believe that Christ is the only way, the only truth, the only life, I don't believe that. You're free to choose that, but you're not free to choose the consequences. There are good choices and bad choices. I'm free to drink fresh water. It's good for me. I'm free to drink Drano. It's bad for me. I am free to choose one of those. So therefore, I better find out, is this fresh water or is this Drano? Because this is good, this is bad. Does it make sense to you? But it's funny to me, when I talk with people about salvation, they don't always see it that way. But according to the Bible, there are choices to be made, and therefore, there is going to be a judgment for all of us. Now, this we're talking about here in 2 Corinthians 5 is not what we're talking about. This is not talking about the great white throne. You are not, as a Christian, going to be dealing with your salvation. Your judgment has fallen on you, and you've raced to the cross. That judgment has fallen on Christ himself. Why later he says, one man died for all, that all would live. That was Christ. That was your judgment. Your judgment for sin is on the cross with Christ. So therefore, well, man, do I have a judgment? Yeah, you do. Evidently, to 2 Corinthians 5, he says, we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. What he's talking about? That's the judgment of saints. You see, the judgment of sinners is dealing with redemption, but this judgment of saints is not dealing with our sin. And I want to reiterate it, because if you miss this, you will go through life continually thinking, I want to keep doing good works, because if I keep doing good works, eventually, God, you're going to be impressed. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that once they end up getting saved out of this system, they have a propensity a little bit to start thinking that same way. Well, I know that I'm saved by grace through faith, not by works. The misconceptions are, number one, your works can lead you to salvation. It cannot. Or a second misconception is that your works really don't matter. They do matter. But you are working not for salvation. You're working out of service for God. Your beliefs determine your destination. Your behavior determines your reward.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.